Hey, everybody. On this episode of Hell's Kitchen, we're going to be breaking down Season 17, Episode 10. It's all gravy. People got potatoes shot in their face. We're going to break it all down next.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yes, me and Frank can finger dance our little hearts away. Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No Lem to stop us now.
That's right. Second Lem.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good.
Hey, everybody. Yes. Welcome to the Hell's Kitchen After Show. We're breaking down every episode of Hell's Kitchen, airing this season on Fox on Friday nights. I'm one of your hosts, Frank Moran. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie.
Hello, hello, everybody. It's so good to see your beautiful faces tonight. My name is Ashley. You can find me online at Ashley on Camera. Let's talk about whatever it is you'd like to talk about, but especially if it's Hell's Kitchen.
That's right. And our main man, Lem Gonzalez, he is on assignment, so he won't be joining us this week. And Robin should be back with us at the beginning of the next year. So we're looking forward to having her back in the panel as well.
Indeed.
Yes, but as always, folks, you can like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Feel free to give it a thumbs up while you're there as well. And we have the chat up and running. So feel free to hop in and share any thoughts you may have about this episode in particular or Hell's Kitchen in general.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're watching this show like we are, you're going to love talking to our guests that we have or hearing from our guests that we have on this evening. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Barbie Marshall.
Yay, Barbie!
Yes!
Hi, Barbie.
Hi, everyone.
We can't see your beautiful face, but we can hear you.
That's great.
You're like, I just spent all this time on my makeup, and I look gorgeous, and y'all can't see it. But we know. We have seen your face, and we trust. How are you?
Yes, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm doing pretty well.
All right, so Barbie, for all the fans, where are you based out of right now?
I'm based out of Philadelphia.
Oh,
so
really?
The show says Strasburg. I do own a property there, and I live there. I raised my kids there. And actually, my first season, that's where I was living, and they put that I was in Philadelphia. So, That's the way things work.
I am a huge fan of that city. I feel like it's just that nice, like, nice small miniaturized version of a big city.
Is it because of the cheesesteak, or are you talking about...
It's the fifth largest city in the United States. I don't know what you're talking about, miniature.
It's just like all the buildings look just like small in time. Well, since it's been around since the colonial times, but everything looks a little bit miniature in terms of the scale of the buildings, which I feel like it gives it a nice look, which I really enjoy. And it's some of the best froyo I've ever had in my life.
Absolutely a good point. I like to say that Philadelphia was made for colonization, not modernization. So when you see newer cities, they're made for... expansion, where Philly was made to settle.
And it's a great place to go. Now, how's the winters out there? Is it crippling out there right now? Is it all right?
It's like 40 degrees tonight, I think.
That's crippling. You gotta get out of there.
It's 36. We've had snow like 2 or 3 times already. Yes. One day, I actually didn't live here all my life. Like, I was born and raised here, went to high school here, but I went to college in the South, so.
The South.
I had a little bit of taste. I think, I'd like to retire in the South of the equator.
Okay, sure. When you say the South, where you went to college, what do you call the South? Because I consider myself from the South. So what are you calling the South?
It was south of the Mason-Dixon line. I went to college in Norfolk, Virginia.
Yeah, that's where I'm from. Well, not from Norfolk, but I'm from Virginia. So there you go. In fact, we are the northernmost state of the south of the Mason-Dixon line.
Wow, look at that.
Learn something every day.
So, Barbie, when production reached out to you and said, hey, we're doing an all-star season, are you interested in coming back? Was it an immediate yes, or did you have to think about it a bit?
Well, when I initially got that call, I was saying goodbye to my friends in Virginia, in Williamsburg, in Busch Gardens, just because I had planned on moving to the West Coast. So, that call kind of saved me a whole lot of forest fires because I was going to Napa Valley.
A lot of forest
and
fires.
And I didn't really want to change my plans. And I had, at the time, my daughter was underage. She was a minor, my youngest daughter. And I didn't want to move and then immediately go into production. So I decided to stay and just tell everyone that my contract didn't fall through for that job. We had a going away party and everything. Like it was kind of insane. So I just told everybody that I was going to Germany, including my mother. And it kind of flew. And then I planned a vacation immediately after because I kind of figured I'd need one.
Sure. That's your
So that was
girl.
One of the caveats that you can't tell anybody where you're going?
Basically, you can't. I mean, my daughter knew. She signed a contract too, but yeah, no. Wow. Can't tell anyone.
Man.
Anyone.
Spy stuff. Chef spy, Secret Service stuff.
Well, all right. I should put it this way. You're not supposed to tell.
Right.
It's frowned upon?
There you go. You know, but there's some people that are in the inner circle, like in the trust circle of trust, where you feel like, all right, you might be able to hint what's going on.
No, I don't trust anyone.
All right.
Well, geez. Yeah. I mean, after this episode, my lordy, I don't blame you for not trusting a soul. Girlfriend.
How about that? You watched that episode, huh?
Yes.
We watched them all.
Well, when you're coming back and you say, all right, I'm going to come back, I'm going to be on the All-Star season, do you kind of reflect about your previous season and kind of figure out, were you going to play the same way you played the first time, or are you really going to come back and play differently?
You know, I never really went into either season thinking about like a play. Like, I didn't think of it as a game. And maybe it's because I'm more of a collaborator and not a competitor. Like, the only sport that I was actually involved in was track and field. So, like, I just don't have that in me. So the first time I actually went was because of a dare for my kids. Mm-hmm. And then the second time, a lot of people after I went on the first time kept asking me, why don't you go on Chopped or this, that, and the third, they rattle off any kind of television competition or show that they could think of. And I'm what you call an extroverted introvert. So I pretty much do like to keep to myself. And if I have to be on, I have to be on. So I'm probably a rarity to step foot in Hell's Kitchen from that regard. And so when people just kept hounding me, I thought they would never do a Hell's Kitchen All-Star season. So I started telling them, if Hell's Kitchen ever does All-Star, then I'll, you know, and they call me and then I'll do that. Well,
lo and behold,
5 years later, you know, when you're like honest, and you don't feel like dealing with a million messages of there's an All-Star season, why aren't you on it? You're like, okay.
Well, getting called for an All-Star season, I feel like you have to think like, all right, what did I, you know that you must have done something to really stand out the first time around. Were you pretty much aware of like what you were expected to kind of bring to the table as an All-Star?
No, not really. I just, I thought about it and, you know, the first time around, I didn't think that I made it as far as I did based on personality. I mean, I know I'm stubborn, but I kind of felt like I was not in the mean girl clique the first time. And then the second time, like day one, I felt like, oh, I'm here to be not in the mean girl clique again. So, you know, I just was like, the only thing that I want to do is just try to get along with everyone and cook, because that's all I came here to do. And, you know, just try not to embarrass my family totally.
For you, when you say, because you mentioned like you consider yourself more of a collaborator than a competitor, I would think on this show that as long as you you play well with others and you collaborate and you cook well, you can make it to the end. Is that a reasonable strategy, or there is more to it, more to the game than just that philosophy?
I think that the first time I should have learned that there was a whole lot more to the game than that philosophy, and the second time I definitely did.
What did you learn the second time around that kind of made like, wait, I should have been thinking about this?
I feel like there should be a meme, sabotage everywhere.
This one was kind of brutal, man. This was a brutal episode for you.
It was totally, totally brutal, but it wasn't just like it was that episode. It was just like, no matter what I did, no matter what I said, no matter how friendly I tried to be, it just was not effective. And so that's pretty frustrating, but it's also Hell's Kitchen for a reason. Like,
sure.
Well, let's go back to the beginning of the episode, because, of course, dealing with last week's episode, Van gets eliminated.
Which was...
Oh, that was a shock.
It was a shock. I certainly wasn't expecting it. I think he was one of your picks, wasn't he?
Yeah, I enjoyed Van. And I know there's some, at least they showed in a couple previous episodes, some flirtation between you.
Some
friendly flirtation.
You guys too? Yeah. Really? The showman? Like, I am spreading so much love throughout this entire season. Like, and I had a girl crush. Come on.
Wait, who's your girl? Who was the girl crush? I forget who your girl
Cheryl,
crush was.
Cheryl Burt from...
Oh, yes. Right. Now, that's understandable. I would own up to that.
Right?
I would own up to that. But let's talk about Van. He was so flirty. Do you guys keep in touch?
Listen, Van has a girlfriend, and...
Oh, she's
pissed. That was just one... Like, seriously, do you guys think that if that went any further than that conversation, they couldn't show it? Come on.
That is amazing. Van's girlfriend now has got it out for you, girl. Look out. She's probably so jealous.
Now, with Cheryl Burke, as you mentioned that, when we're watching that episode, it just seems like you kind of just went off the deep end in your love for Cheryl Burke. Was it as it was edited together, or was it a lot more tame than what we saw?
So, I mean, it depends on how you look at it. Like, yeah, I totally did have a geek out moment because, like, here she is. She like, totally had a partner at that time. And at that time, I had been watching Dancing with the Stars with my daughter. Like, she had a partner that, you know, the rest of the world probably frowned upon on at that time. And she made the best of it. And so I was kind of inspired by that. Like, look, Sheryl Crow got Ryan Loxie as a partner this season. I'm in Hell's Kitchen. I can use that as inspiration, you know, like really, like you're not always dealt the great hand when you're playing a game of cards. So you make the most of it. And that's kind of what I felt. And I don't really think that I went off the deep end. Like I walked up to the table, everyone else had finished their food and someone hadn't touched theirs. And I mean, I feed people for a living. So when I see a full plate of food, what happened? Can I help you? What can I do to make you eat? Are you just not hungry? Well, it's a little pink. I'll make you another one. I don't want to get you in trouble. It's okay. It's fine. So then that argument happened and, you know, I'm kind of stubborn. Once I made it up in my mind that he was going to eat that night, which I still don't understand why he shouldn't have, you know, it was a little battling with Elise, which was a little battling anyway, because I was on the meat station, which is the furthest station away from the pass, mm-hmm. and asked to run the kitchen. And, you know, here I have a person that's like, no, I'm going to do it for you, calling out the tickets wrong. And I'm like, furthest away, not able to see them, have the orders memorized. And I'm like, no, that's not what it is. You know, but then I have to deal with the attitude being drug out and thrown in the pantry with someone that, you know, I was just like, hey, back up with those hands.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then, of course, I was absolutely insane. But I'm trying to figure out who gets backed into a corner and doesn't, like, snarl. I mean,
sure.
Hello.
And I mean, it's also every single person that we've had on, at least on this show, has talked about, like, the pressure of a dinner service is, like, through the roof. And it's really real. And that's not just something that they're amping up in the edit, that it's like, I can imagine you put those tensions on top of some already like underlying, you know, drama, I guess, if you will, between, well, Elise and everyone, frankly.
True. Elise has got tension with everybody.
Yeah.
Is it pretty much just...
Sorry, you broke up at the end.
Oh, it's...
But yes, it's very, it's a lot of pressure.
Mm-hmm.
For you and Elise, is it... And just during the dinner services, and I guess some of the deliberations when you're deciding who to put up. But otherwise, if you're just talking to Elise outside of the competitive environment, you guys get along just fine.
Well, I'm going to take that silence to speak measures.
Yes.
I think we're having some trouble connecting.
Would I hang out with Elise under a not competitive environment?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe I just need to move.
Or not even just like, would you hang out with her? Is it like, is it easy to be around her, you know, or to talk with her, like, without this being the sort of, you know, combative way of talking? Like, is it just because it's a competition that this comes out in both of you, or is it that way in any conversation you have with Elise?
I think that that's just, I think that that's her. And she's very proud of it. And so, you know, I'm kind of older and I invite people into my life that are, you know, positive and try to be as friendly to people in general as possible. And I'm all right with that. I don't need that.
One thing I want to ask before we start talking about this last episode was the previous episode when the red team lost the challenge. Part of their punishment was they had to drink that gross milkshake, and you decided, hey, you know what? I'm just going to dump this. And everybody else had to end up finishing
okay,
the
listen.
Shake.
Did there we you? Go. There we go.
Were you just like, it's like, I'm just looking up for me?
I don't know if you remember the first nasty thing that we had to eat where I puked.
Yep. I remember that.
And
distinctly.
I was like, mm-hmm. oh my God, please stop talking. It was some kind of brulee, something or another.
The fish, it was like a fish thing, the first one. It was like seafood thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was bad.
It was like a dried shrimp creme brulee. So here's the thing. I'm allergic to eggs. And I tried for my team anyway, and they just kept, you know, making it worse. And by the time I got that shake sat down in front of me, I was like, you know what? This is not happening. This is literally hell. And if I like, no, this is not happening. I'm not puking on TV again. I'm not doing it. And I didn't know what he was going to say, and he was going to make them drink that drink. And oops.
Oops.
Do they produce, or does anybody come over to you and tell you like, hey, you have to drink this. Like you have to do this. Does anybody come over and tell you that? Like obviously before.
Trying to figure out a place where, like, anybody except my mother has told me an order since I was 21 years old. And that's pretty much the place that I was in at that moment. I was like, I did taste it. I did take a sip of it. And I was like, yeah, nope.
That's enough for me. I like that it wasn't even sly. It was just like, you know, I'm just going to dump this in the trash. There you go.
You know what? Here's the thing. I have zero desire to be a sneaky person. If I'm going to do it, it's there.
That's right.
There you go. Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough.
So this episode, we start off with the blind taste test.
Yes.
Of course, the 17th annual blind taste test for Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah. Okay.
Your second go around on this. Just describe to us, how challenging is this blind taste test?
Yeah.
So the blind taste test, you're literally blindfolded and you have like weird something blasting in your ears through those speakers. Mm-hmm. So you really, really, really have to focus on what it is that they're putting in your mouth. And you can get distracted by all of those things. Like taking away the sight, okay, I can deal with that, but adding the noise and then the pressure of Gordon's gonna tap you and ask for an answer. And so with that, I was just like, you know what? I don't care how he taps, how often he taps, I'm gonna speak when I'm ready. And there were a couple of times that I didn't wait and I didn't get it right.
I always wonder, like, potato itself is pretty flavorful. I mean, I get that it's a base and you should be able to detect flavors in there, but does the potato have any effect on some of those flavorings? Like the chive, for example, everybody thought was onion. I mean, I don't know. I had to wonder, like, does the potato affect it?
Well, I mean, chives and onions are in the same family, the same plant genus family. They are all alliums, along with scallions, shallots, garlic. So they can kind of mimic each other. And so it would be easy to confuse them if you're like,
looking
that's the
at
most
them.
Relatable.
Yeah.
I didn't find the potato to be a distraction, actually. I found the camel and the smell of the camel to be more of a distraction.
That camel was cool. Did you guys get to ride that camel?
Yeah.
Why doesn't everybody get a ride on
the camel? Well, why not? It's a camel. They have little ridey things. I mean,
well, because you get no reward if you don't get out.
Oh, okay, that's fair.
Because I felt like this blind taste test a little different, where everything was kind of a mash, as opposed to in previous seasons where it's still been kind of its base ingredient.
Form, yeah. Yeah.
Actually, I think I'll just go out and say this: it was maybe a little bit easier because I just blocked out the potato taste and then concentrated on what was first,
mm-hmm.
like what I was smelling, like what I felt. And like the first one I had, I think was mustard, and it was whole grain mustard. So, you know, it's a process of deduction. Like it's in your mouth, it's a familiar flavor. And then all of a sudden the mustard seed, that it just bursts and you're like, wait, that's mustard. So, you know, it's a little bit easier when you know the textures of it also.
Sure.
If they had put like French's yellow mustard in there, I may not have gotten it.
Well,
I may have, because I do like yellow mustard, but you know, there was more to it.
As if not identifying the ingredients was enough.
Right.
If you miss more than two, a fellow teammate gets blasted in the face with mashed potatoes. And if you miss a third time, they get gravy poured on them. The fourth time they get both.
By the way, we should give credit to Frank's intro here for the It's All Gravy. That was very, very, very punny, Frank. Very punny.
That was great. So I guess my frame of mind going into this was that I wanted to be a team player and I didn't want my team to be splattered or whoever was sitting in that chair to be splattered. So I didn't feel like I was just doing it for my benefit. I thought I was doing it for the benefit of the person who didn't want to wear mashed potatoes and gravy.
Yeah. I will also say, so that's a very kind way to look at it, but I was dying when you were sitting in the chair getting ready to go and you had your nose all like plugged, like, yes. Oh no, here it goes.
Oh wait, you missed the whole part where I had to like take my whole do-rag off and protect my hairdo.
You gotta protect
because
your hair.
Because this hair, yeah. Like, you don't understand the struggle of hair is real. And I was like, no, I'm not going through mashed potatoes and gravy in my hair. Y'all can forget about it.
So what is it? So once you get done tasting it, it's your turn to sit in the chair. Do you just ask production to say, you guys got to give me 10. I got to go get prepared to be able to get.
I didn't ask for anything. I snatched that head. You just rewind and watch. I snatched that head thing off my hair so fast and tied it up. Okay, look, black girls rock. We know what to do.
So then you also get gravy poured on you. Ugh. What? Mm. I mean, how cold? Because
I was going to say, is it how hot gravy? Is it cold gravy? What kind of gravy?
I'm pretty sure I got mashed potatoes and gravy splattered on me twice.
Oof.
I'm right. Hungry, so that because doesn't I'm... sound all bad right now, but it was the force that it was coming out at you that would be jarring.
Yes.
That was terrible. That was... Like, I mean, the thing about it is you're getting shot at from a cannon with sure. something soft, but you're still, sure. imagine, I guess the only thing, it was not warm.
Okay.
So imagine if you're standing on the side of a road, a dirt road, and it's raining,
uh-huh.
and someone in like a F-350 drives by and slings mud on you.
Okay.
That's what it feels like.
That sounds awful, but
yeah.
edible still.
Terrible.
Well, my favorite part though is that Gordon would try to count down from five, yeah. and it'd always go off.
Yeah,
yep.
He was loving it. That was so funny. He should have gone for a test round. How fun would that have been to see him get blasted with potatoes?
Let's put your money where your mouth is, Gordon. Let's put you heavy blind taste test. Now, I will say we've thrown a little bit of shade at Robin a lot this season, but she came on strong in this taste test.
Oh my gosh, she sure did. She got them all right, didn't she?
I was really impressed.
I don't know if she got them all right, but she did really well.
Yeah.
Now, we've kind of talked about like where maybe it's just the editing. We've kind of came across with the impression that Robin is not that incredibly talented.
We're kind of surprised she's still in it, to be honest.
Well, I mean, at this point in the competition, she's in the Blue Kitchen, so I have absolutely no idea what's going on with her.
Okay.
I only had that experience, you know, with her in the Red Kitchen.
Right.
We were from the same season, so.
Oh, you were? That's right.
Is it Robin just kind of they're playing it more of her kind of goofy quirky side that she really does have the skills to kind of back it up, or she's just getting lucky, you think?
I honestly don't know. I guess I have to watch like everyone else.
All right. Okay. So unfortunately you lose. What is it like to lose a challenge? Is it just because you end up having to sort peppercorns and shovel gravy?
That's like just like picking out pieces of sand and counting little granules of sand.
Ugh.
How was that? What was that like
for
you?
You know, I have kids. I have a lot of kids, so...
How many kids do you have?
I have four.
Four wow. kids? Good gracious. That's a lot of kids.
It's a lot of kids. And so you're often tasked as a parent with menial tasks and things that you have to do. So I kind of just... Picking peppercorns is just fine. I don't have to focus on it just by color. Like, it's not a terrible thing.
At least it's not like smelly or like dirty or shoveling horse poop or like anything.
Or shoveling horse poop.
So there's that. It could be worse. I mean, I
farmed for 10 years, so the shoveling horse poop really, I was just like, come on, let's just do this.
I always wonder if these challenges, I'm like, are they really going to make them finish the task, or can they just do it for a little while to get enough B-roll and then get out of there? Do they make you finish, like, the whole batch of peppercorns and the whole pile of poo?
I'm pretty sure they did.
Wow.
Bring it in, because it's green, red, and black peppercorn. Huh? In terms of taste, how do those differ?
That's a good question.
Green, actually, there's a big difference in texture too.
Oh, really?
Pink would be the mildest. Green would be next, and then black. And pink actually crumbles up really; it flakes almost rather than when it grinds.
So cool.
Green, a lot of times sometimes you see them more brined because they're also kind of tender. And black, you just don't want a whole black peppercorn in your mouth. It's never going to be a good deal.
Right. Yep. On many levels.
So the red team has been on the losing side of a lot of the challenges.
Ooh, yeah.
Do you folks, before you go into a service, do you try to at least kind of come together and say, all right, let's get our game faces on, we can do this? Or is it just so fractured amongst the red team at this point that it is tough to get? It's just like you're going to go into service and we're going to just see what we can do.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, there are some considerations that are helped along. I mean, the bickering and the arguing is just so distracting. And I remember seeing at one point someone wanted to go talk to Elise. And I was like, maybe you should do that after dinner service. And there was this whole big fight. And then we didn't have a good dinner service. And Elise was like, rarrr. So, you know, judgments are completely off.
Right, right. Yeah, it seems like everybody, I felt on this dinner service, like everybody on the red team was out for themselves. Like they were just all about their portion of the meal and that's it. Like that's, I felt that. Is that what it felt like in the service, or what were you kind of feeling in the, as you were in
Well,
it?
I wanted to help as much as I possibly could. I do believe at one point there was a sauce that I was gonna attempt to help for, I think Elise's course. I got sent away from it. And I was like, hey, throw my hands up. All right, no problem. You don't need my help. I don't need to be here. And then the sauce came back and it was a problem. So
it wasn't flavored? Was that the deal? It wasn't spicy enough, right? There was no flavorings in there, no seasonings in the sauce?
It wasn't seasoned. It wasn't reduced. Like it was supposed to, like, I don't know. Like there was just a lot of factors. The fish was undercooked or overcooked. Like it just, there was just a lot of bickering, which is really not a good place to be in the kitchen, like in your headspace. And I think I mentioned this, like, you know, you set a plan, and I always tell like my staff, proper planning prevents piss poor performance. So
a lot
you go
of
into things, it's the five P's.
Five P's. Say that every morning.
So, you know, you plan things out, and then when you have someone come to you and you planned on them doing a certain thing and they're like, oh no, I'm not gonna do that. It's just kind of like, well, what are you trying to actually do right now? No, yeah, you're gonna work that station. And then when they don't wanna be accountable for it at the end of the night, it's really frustrating.
Do you talk in here sort of specifically about Michelle coming up against you with the
garnish?
Garnish, that's the word. Thank you, Frank.
You got it.
The garnish situation. Talk to us about that.
It just was one of those things where garnish has to be up at the pass before all the proteins, and we've seen that. And it was like one order of spinach, and like, how long does it take to saute spinach? Do you cook spinach?
I've never cooked it myself.
Frank's not a spinach. No. Not a spinach guy. Not his thing. I love spinach, but I normally eat mine raw. But if I would saute it, yeah, it's pretty quick, right? Like a couple, not very long.
It's pretty quick. And so it was really frustrating because, you know, in your mind, you're like, well, you've already tried to not help me and bail on your word. And now you're delaying something that doesn't really take that long. Like, what is really going on? Can you give me my spinach, please, right now?
Right. Like the time that you guys spent talking about it, it could be like in the pan already.
No, it was already in the pan.
Oh, it was already.
Come
okay.
on.
Okay. Gotcha.
Because I feel that when you kind of sternly rebutted to Michelle about getting that spinach up, I felt like that was the mom voice coming out. Like when you've done wrong,
that
voice is coming out.
You can tell you have kids.
So somebody actually sent me a message.
Hang on, guys. We're going to hear a really great story.
Yes.
About Barbie being a tough mom, but it sounds like we've got some
perhaps a few technical difficulties as we've had her Skyping in on audio.
Yeah.
I'll try to call her back. I don't know why she just cut out.
Because the story is going to be so intense.
It was so good, you guys.
The Skype.
You must absolutely stay tuned. We are going to get her back on the line here in just a second to finish the story.
Yeah, so just to set it up for everybody, it is, of course, dinner service, but it's one of those special events where they close down the restaurant, and it is for dueling charities.
Yes.
And one is for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, and the other team is for Shane's Inspiration.
Yes, which I hadn't heard of Shane's Inspiration, and I still don't know what it's about, but we can look into it.
No, it's really cool. They set up, they make sure that there's, you know, playgrounds, other areas that are accessible to everybody.
Oh, right on. That's great.
Yeah.
That's very, very cool.
So the blue team had Shane's Inspiration, and the blue team was on fire.
They were killing it.
Absolutely.
I mean, everything was coming out at the same time. They were firing on all cylinders. Everybody was communicating really well.
Yeah.
Which is like, you know, that was, it, that's half the battle right there.
Even like when Benjamin said, went back to Millie with the foie gras, saying that it needed to be cooked a little
more. It was immediately resolved. Yep. No problem. Yeah, that was a good.
Sorry about that.
Oh, no worries.
There's our girl.
Yes. So yes, so your mom voice at Michelle, was that kind of apt to describe, like, that is when you've done wrong, that's the voice that's going to be coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the voice that comes out with my kids. And I guess I felt like I was dealing with the kids in the moment. Like, that is the, what did you do to my kitchen at home? I just walked in and everything is like filthy. I have friends over, like, clean it up.
But it sounds like you have adult kids too, right? Like, were you saying?
I do.
Okay, so it's
26, 23, 19, and actually 20, and soon to be 19, so 18.
Dang, girl, you don't not look old enough to have any of those children.
I know, but apparently I look like I'm 50.
Who said, says who?
I know.
Wait, I missed that.
You heard that, didn't you? You heard that.
Yeah.
Somebody said, oh, I know. Like, that is the kind of petty stuff. I know I said I was on Team Petty, and I was just like, I kind of went in there like, I'm going to take my morals and my values in there with me, and I'm just not going to, like, talk about people because I can't find a reason not to talk about their cooking or whatever. And so that was just, seeing that was really disheartening. Like, really? Yeah. Because number one, I don't look 50.
You sure don't.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Number two, considering everything that I've been through in my life, I probably could look 50 and get away with it.
Yeah, 1, 2, 3, and 4 reasons I can think of right off the bat to be, you know, hairless and wrinkled, and I don't see either of those things on you,
well,
my dear.
Thank you.
So the red team, to say that the service goes poorly is probably understating it. Chef Gordon Ramsay says it's one of the worst services he's ever seen. Yeah. Did you feel that way?
Yes. Absolutely. I felt like that was the worst service I participated in my entire life. And, you know, I just had to take responsibility for my part of it, and it sucked.
When it comes to deliberation, I feel like the red team, you cannot have just a very civil, polite.
It's always a brawl, the Ratchet Reds. Van kind of coined you guys the Ratchet Reds, and it's like, I love you guys, but it's always like, I always think someone's going to physically fight. Like, everybody's in everybody's face.
Yeah. What is it like to be in one of those deliberations?
Well, I got up and walked away.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, I was at the point where it was so beyond frustrating, and I'm not, like, in anyone's face. I don't want to be in anyone's face. I'd already been locked in a pantry with someone and was like, hey, listen, we're not going to get in anybody's face in here or throw up hands in anybody's face because it's just not going down like that. I'm too old. So, you know, I feel like we can all get our points across verbally, and sometimes that can be strong, but throwing things and just, you know, not being able to answer a yes or no question is, like, really frustrating.
Did I miss this?
Well, I know Michelle threw a bottle.
I said throwing things.
Yes. Okay. I'm like, because a pan's kind of heavy.
Yeah, but Michelle
dangerous.
Threw that bottle. I was like, whoops, that's the, especially towards Elise.
Yeah. That's like,
be throwing anything towards.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Elise caught it.
Yeah.
So she was ready.
Oh, she, girl works out. I wouldn't right. want to go up against her.
So ever. At that point, when you go up to in front of Chef Ramsay, it's when you have to put, the red team has to put two people up, it is you and Elise.
Yep.
Do you feel like there's anything that you can say to rebut that when you're kind of deliberating, or it's like, I just have to accept that and plead my case in front of Chef Ramsay?
I don't know if you noticed the pattern.
Yeah, you've been up there once or twice before.
Yes.
Once or twice. And I think that even when it was time for me to cook for my life, I said, they're always going to put me up. Mm. They're always going to put me up first. And so I think that there was safety in numbers, and the numbers of, you know what, as long as we keep putting her up, we're not getting put up. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sure that that was someone's or a group of people's strategy. Like, and so it did tend to seem very, like, one-sided on the color spectrum.
Did you feel like, because, you know, we don't get to see a lot of the life outside of, because you guys are actually in the kitchen quite a bit, but did you feel like there was anybody, because you and Elise used to kind of be allies or buddies, at the start of the show.
No, it was that we were allies or buddies. It was just that I spoke to everyone that way and tried to be as encouraging as possible, and she just had a lot more outbursts than anyone else, where she was frustrated a lot or something went wrong. Mm-hmm. And I felt like, all right, so if we have one person that's like weak in some aspect of our team and I'm trying to help them up, then our team is stronger. And if our team is stronger, then we beat the other team. Nobody goes home. Like, I just didn't feel like I didn't know that I was in Cutthroat Kitchen.
Yeah.
Oh, Cutthroat. Yeah. Yeah.
So when you have to plead your case to Chef Ramsay, how long is it after you and Elise kind of make your deliberation before he gives you a final decision?
I don't really know. I mean, it just felt so instant, and it was not long. I mean, you see, like, it was just like, okay, Barbie. And I was like, oh, well, my exit is so Philly. I probably cursed more in my goodbye.
I was going to say your goodbye was spirited, my dear.
Yes, I loved your goodbye. Yeah. It was great. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how I really felt. You know, I mean, I always felt the way that I really felt in the confessionals also. I mean, it's not like they tell you what to say. Like, mm-hmm. I think clearly a big indication of how like random things can happen are like when I'm in the confessional, I'm covered in mashed potatoes and gravy. They like make me go in there covered in mashed potatoes and gravy, and I'm trying to talk about like what just happened, and then all of a sudden I touch my pants. And you know, that was my genuine reaction of, oh, I don't even have anywhere I can wipe this because the cleanest part of me I'm sitting on. So like, I just have these gravy hands. I want to touch nothing. It's cold, it's damp. So, you know, you're really passionate. You're pushed to the brink. And so my exit was a reflection of all of that.
When you get eliminated, do you go into seclusion with the rest of the eliminated contestants, or are you able just to go back home?
I always wonder that too, because I'm like, you never see, do they kick you out right away and then that's it? Or do you get to say your goodbyes, or how does it go?
Well, I really didn't have anyone to say goodbye to. And at this point, I'm pretty adamant that I want to go home.
Yeah. But I mean, do you get to leave that night? Is there a car waiting for you? How does it go?
I think you're going to have to tune in and find out.
Everybody goes home.
Yeah. Everybody goes home.
They don't put you like up in a hotel with everybody else and wait until the competition's completely over.
I mean, like, you get to actually go home to your house that night.
I mean, I guess it depends on when you leave and, you know, like, no, I don't get to go home that night because I live on the East Coast and I was on the West Coast.
True.
Okay, so, I see.
Because I know there are elements of later on in the season where they get to bring back former contestants to help out on each side for whether it be the final competition mm-hmm. or whatnot as mm-hmm, well.
Mm-hmm. Every season does that, but at this point, I'm just very, very adamant that I want to go home.
Yeah.
All right, well, Barbie, answer me this. If they ever came back and you said, Barbie, you know what? We're going to do another season of All-Stars. Would you say yes again?
I would humbly and graciously decline.
I think that seems to be a trend too.
I realized, A, I'm not a competitor. And B, I went in there, you know, because my kids wanted me to do that. And then, you know, I put my foot in my mouth and promised everyone else if it happened again that I would do it. And I think that I pretty much have fulfilled my word in that regard. And so I never really went in there for me. And that just wouldn't have been on my radar had it not been brought to me, it wouldn't have happened. So if it's brought back to me, been there, done there, got the jackets twice.
That's yep.
Yeah.
I don't need anymore. And so now I do get to say, like, I'm a Hell's Kitchen All-Star no matter what.
Yeah.
Like, I still have my black jacket from the first time I was on. This is an opportunity that not many people get. I think that there are so many more chefs out there that they could find new ones.
Okay, fair enough. Well, not all stars.
That's true. I mean, but Barbie, for you, how if this is your second go around, how have you grown as a chef going through not once but twice on this show? How's that helped you out? Or has it?
On the show?
Yeah. Or has it made you more paranoid of like, you know, your kitchen staff?
Just in terms of your craft, your skill?
No, you know, actually, I will tell you that it actually made me more appreciative of the people that I work with and the people that work for me, because I always try to be humble and gracious and appreciative to my staff, but it made me realize that what a wonderful team of people that have collected and collectively, like, come to work for me and with me and do a good job because they want to. And so I really did miss that feeling and miss them in Hell's Kitchen. And when I came back, that is just where my focus is. It's just making sure that no one feels like that, like they're not in a team.
Yeah, it's I mean, it's so different in a real working environment when you guys, like, yeah, I mean, you have to. It's not just for a competition. It's not for a show. It's for, like, you have paying customers and you guys, like, have to work together, which I know, you know, it's different in a competition where you know that there's only one winner. Like, it's just a different vibe altogether.
Well, I mean, it's different because I did work in restaurants for years and I work for myself now. I have my own business. But when I worked in restaurants, we were a team. I still am friends with so many of the chefs that I worked for, so many of the chefs that I worked with. And we're just really in several states, and we're just really involved in each other's lives. And they're some of my best friends. I mean, one of my best friends from college is still my best friend from college and from culinary school. Mm-hmm. So just that kind of camaraderie, I really appreciate, like, the people that I worked with that I enjoy working with. And I don't think that enough times, maybe I didn't, like, I did tell them, but I tell them a lot more now.
Well, that's good. That's a good thing to come from it. I want to know, what do your kids think of you being on the show? You know, four kids, you said they wanted you to do it. How proud of you are they? Or, like, what do they, what's it like for your kids to see you as, like, this sort of celebrity?
My kids are hilarious. Okay, so the first time that I did HK, like, I didn't really care about makeup and I wasn't really worried about it. So my youngest daughter was like, okay, I'm gonna help you pack. And the first thing we're gonna pack is your makeup bag, because mom, you cannot, even if it's just mascara and, like, lip gloss, you have to. Aww. Like, some blush, like, so, you know, it's really cool for them. And when they were younger, I think the first time I went on, they were like 12 and 14, the youngest. So we would have, like, parties at the house with their friends and, like, do grilled cheese. And now that they're old enough to be able to come and watch with me, and they're all working. But my oldest lives in Costa Rica with my two grandsons.
That's where you should be watching the show, my friend.
I would love to, but I still have to work. And she watches it on the internet. Ah.
People eat in Costa Rica, though, Barbie.
Right, they do, in fact.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, my oldest son and my youngest daughter are able to watch it because they moved here to Philadelphia. And then my youngest son lives in York, closer to where it says I'm from. So I haven't been able to watch a single episode with him. And I actually only watched one episode with my mom and my siblings. And that was my last episode.
Oh.
Which was really hard for my mom. Like, yeah. I was, like, cussing on TV, and my mom, who is gorgeous and 77, she would never admit to this. Sorry, mom. She was cussing up a storm, and it was hilarious. Like, it made things, like, because I wasn't able, like, I didn't tell them how far I'd gotten or what it was going to be. And so, like, I just happened to be at her house because it snowed, and she was like, look, the show came on, and I was like, oh, okay. And so we, like, watched it together, and then she was like, what's going on? Like, they're not helping you. And I was like, yeah, I know. And she kind of looked at me at one point, and she was like, are you gonna go home over this?
Aww.
And it was, like, the most serious face, and I was just like, just keep watching.
Yeah, yeah, I gotta say, just keep watching, mom. That's all I can say to you right now.
So then, like, she gave me this look, and I was like, okay, mom. And, like, we had been out during the day. I'd driven 5 hours in the snow because that's how long it took me to get through an hour and a half worth of actual driving. And I'd driven her car because she wanted to go somewhere. And so after a certain point and a certain look, I just got up and started putting on my stuff. And she was like, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm going to go clean off my car. And she was like, now?
No. And I was like, that's the tell. Right, she knew. Yeah. She knew. She knew.
So, Barbie, you said you have your own business out there. If folks want to keep up to date with what you're doing or your business, where's the best place for them to find you on the social media?
Well, The first place they can find me is actually my website, chefbarbie.com. Couldn't get any easier than that, right?
There you go.
Absolutely.
Chef Barbie.
And then I'm at Barbie Marshall on all my social media accounts. So I'm on Instagram, I'm on Twitter, I'm on Facebook. I have a Facebook page. I'm based out of Philly, but I travel.
Cool.
Oh, fantastic.
Very good.
Oh, well, Barbie, thank you for taking the time to chat with us this evening. And for, not just once, but twice entering the doors of Hell's Kitchen.
Yes, you are a superstar and an all-star in our eyes for sure.
Thank you guys so much. And thank
you so good talking to you.
Oh, our pleasure. Have a great night, Barbie.
Happy holidays.
Wow.
That was really cool to talk with her. It was a big episode for her.
Yeah, but I did like the, you said her exit was great.
Yeah,
sure.
She was very, very spirited indeed.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's it. We are completely out of time.
And that's it for, I think, this year for us.
Yeah, we're going to be back the second Wednesday in January.
So it seems like a long time. Are you going to make it without me until then?
I'm going to be fraught with despair. But I'm just going to watch past episodes of our after show just to give it back.
Yep. And just keep this, just listen. Just keep the fingers limber.
Right.
Just keep it up, okay?
So yeah, we'll be back Wednesday. It's going to be January 10th, I believe.
January 10th. Mark your calendars.
So, yeah, we'll be right back here. But hopefully we should have the full panel.
Yes.
Which
we'll be back.
Fantastic. Yes. But as always, folks, like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Give it a thumbs up while you're there. And if you want to continue the conversation with us even after the show's aired, you feel free to comment down below. Or, Ashley, where can they find you?
Well, Frank, everybody can find me online at Ashley on Camera. Pretty easy itself. And I want to talk with you about all things food, especially, but whatever you're watching and liking these days. But, you know, Hell's Kitchen is always a good topic. Ashley on Camera. Find me there.
And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie. Ladies and gentlemen, have a safe and fun holiday season. We'll see you back here January 10th, 2018.
2018.
Where's this year gone? On another edition of the Hell's Kitchen After Show right here on AfterBuzz TV.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.